Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo estás? Ni hao, ni hao ma. No sé, but welcome. Welcome. I'm just showing off. I know a couple of languages a little bit, so we are happy you're here. I'm a visitor myself, so I'm in the same boat as you are. I've been here about six times a year, and I enjoy telling men and women, boys and girls, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been doing a series on animals. Now that's an interesting subject, and today we'll just share the screen. There we go, share. Look at this, it's great. This is the 16th message on animals. I've been just enjoying studying about animals, and I'm trying to relate the animals in the Bibles to everyday life, our life. And it's there's an echo here somewhere. Let's see, continue to share. I'm not too sure why that's but we'll get our techie up here. He knows what he's doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Turn off the speakers.
Okay, turn off the speakers. There we go. Any echoing? No echoing. Well, I don't want to hear myself anyway, but I hope that you're ready to hear, not me. I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear what the Word of God says. And I'm hoping that I am just a servant trying to do what God wants me to do. And that is to share what God has for us. Now, the animal which I've chosen for this morning is exactly a scorpion. I don't like scorpions. And my title is Growing Through the Dangers of the Christian Life. But this is both, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, this message is for you. But if you haven't really got into being part of the family of God, if you don't really understand what it is to be born again or regenerated or saved, you're in the right place. Because we're going to be talking from the Bible to all sorts of people. So growing through dangers in the Christian life. The Bible shows scorpions, they're a symbol of pain, danger, and spiritual torment. We are all in danger. We are all have pain. We all are attacked by one system or another system. So this message has taken the scorpion as an example, and we're going to see what the Bible says. Because if it, we say here 16, if it ain't in the Bible, if it isn't in the Bible, we don't want to talk about it. We want to talk about what God says in the Bible. Now, scorpions. Have you ever seen a scorpion? I've seen it. I've been to 79 different countries. And I've seen scorpions in three of them. I lived for 20 years in a place that I couldn't go to the washroom at nighttime without shoes on because there are scorpions on the ground. Seriously. They're just baby ones. But there are scorpions. And we've had people struck by scorpions. Scorpions are mentioned several times in Scripture. Usually as a symbol of danger, suffering, discipline, or spiritual opposition. And if you don't know the Lord, maybe one of the reasons is because you're being struck by a scorpion. Maybe, see, the devil doesn't want you to know about him. And we've just sung these gorgeous, beautiful songs about Jesus and what he does for us, what he's done for us, what he's going to do for us. And if you haven't come to the realization of that, maybe it's because there's scorpions in your life. I'm telling you, there's been scorpions in my life too. Let's see what God has for us, because it's a subject that we don't like in a sense, but it's wonderful to know how God can take care of those things. So okay, we'll just get going here. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 8:15, God led Israel through the wilderness filled with serpents and scorpions. Remember they went through, remember those 40 years? Walking through the desert full of scorpions. And you know what? Underneath each rock, there could be a scorpion. In Argentina, where I lived for a few years, there were scorpions. And you have to be careful when you're playing soccer. If there's a big rock there, you've got to move the rock out carefully because there could be a scorpion there. And God uses these as an illustration for us. 1 Kings 12, 11, 14. Rehoboam spoke of casting the devil, chastening the people with scorpions. God used the scorpions to chasten his people. See, God allows us to, he never tempts us, never tempts us. Don't say, well, God tempted me. No, God never tempts me. But he allows us to go through difficulties so that we will look up. I have problems in my life. And why do I have problems in life? Because I've taken my eyes off of Jesus. And when I take my eyes off of Jesus, sometimes he chastises me. Also, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 10, 11, and 12, parallels account of Rehoboam, and it uses harsh words. Now, why is this not going up on the screen? Sorry. I can hear him thinking back there. You want? You can take a look if you want. Everything's here, is it right? Thank you. He makes it so easy. So, okay, what we were saying, in the Old Testament, again, we read this, God led Israel through the desert. We know that. We also find about Rehoboam, speaks about chastising. They weren't obeying God. They weren't obedient. God used used this animal, scorpions, to chastise them. Also, we find that in Ezekiel is told not to fear rebellious people, though he dwelt among scorpions. Israel is told not to fear rebellious people, though he dwells between scorpions. Scorpions are used of God to chastise his people. So lessons, we're going to have lessons from scorpions, growing through the danger of the Christian life. Danger, danger. When you see a scorpion, it's danger, okay? Keep that word in mind, danger. Then we're going to talk about scorpions teach us about the dangers of it, but it also scorpion teaches about the difficulties we must endure. We go through danger, we go through difficulties, and what else do we have? Scorpions teach us about the dominion we must exercise. We have dominion over scorpions if we are Christians, which means you don't put your hand in a snake pit to get bit, but we have possibilities to reject, to leave behind, to not enter into the sins of this world. We have the power through God to eliminate scorpions in our lives. Even though there's sometimes a scorpion might bite you, God has given us a way out. In Deuteronomy and in Lucas says, scorpions are feared creatures in the Bible, in biblical lands. They hide beneath rocks. They strike unexpectedly, and they cause great pain. I've seen people picked by scorpions. It's great pain, great pain. God uses them as an illustration of spiritual realities every believer faces. So if you're a believer, you have to be discerned. You have to discern a lot of But thank God, even though that scorpion is hidden under that rock, there's a way out. Jesus is the way. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can have rest in Jesus. We can have protection in Jesus. Jesus would help us through the difficulties if we're part of his family. Jesus wants us to accept him as God's provision. God has provided Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for my sins and your sins. And the way out is by accepting him. As Harold said, 70 years ago, up at Amble Island, I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come in today. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and stay. And he stayed. He's never left me. He's helped me. I've been to 79 different countries. I've had two fathers, four mothers, two fathers, orphans. I lived in an orphan. But God was always there. God was always there to protect me. And even though scorpions were around me, attacking me, God healed me and helped me. And I know other people in this congregation have been hit by scorpions. We're talking spiritually now, figuratively, but God is there for you. And that's what I like about it. In the New Testament, for instance, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus gave his disciples authority over serpents and scorpions. We have authority over them. In the name of Jesus, he will help us. He will help us through the difficulties. I was telling one young lady this morning, this week has been terrible. I got spit by a scorpion. And she said, where were you? Well, I was at home, and a huge problem came into my life. A huge problem. I was struck by a scorpion. Ah! It hurt me so much. I still have a pit in my stomach. I still don't sleep at night. Even though God has helped me, God has given me back my joy, my happiness, my peace, but still I've got blood in my veins and I still feel bad. I'm not going to go into it. But God helped me. God allowed me. See, I prepared two sermons this week and Satan wasn't happy with me. And that's why he sent along a scorpion to bite me. But I overcome it in the name of Jesus. And that's why I'm here today. Even though I haven't slept very much. But Jesus says we have authority over scorpions. And you know what we can say? We can say, get behind me, Satan. We can say, afuera, get out of here. Fish more la pe. We can say, whatever language you have, you can talk to God and he will listen to you. See, God talks to me every day of my life through the Word of God. Are you in the Word of God? If you want God to talk to you, this is the way he talks to you. And also he talks to his people. But God wants you to talk to him, your father. See, I didn't have a father figure. I didn't have a father figure. But I had a heavenly father. 70 years I've had a heavenly father that has never, never let me down. And I can look up and I can talk to my heavenly father. I say, Father, I was stung this week. Father, I'm in difficulty. I'm discouraged. I'm upset. I'm distraught. And he comes in and he helps me. Do you have that hope? You can have that hope. If you don't have Jesus, you don't know. We used to sing a song, "Oh, to be with us without a Savior, with no hope." We have hope, as we've been singing this morning. You have hope. I have hope. If you have Jesus in your life, you have hope. If you don't have Jesus in your life, I don't know where you're going to find your hope. You can't find your hope in politics. You can't find your hope in the social media. You can't find hope in philosophy or psychology or any of those things. But I found my hope in Jesus. Orphan. And I have joy, wonderful joy, because I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And even though scorpions are all around me, Jesus gave me authority over serpents and scorpions. Luke chapter 11, 12 says, "A father would not give his son a scorpion when he asked for an egg." My Heavenly Father is there listening to me. His ears are listening to me 24/7. My computer, my phone, they run out of battery. There's no Wi-Fi. I can't communicate. I can't get on WhatsApp. I can't get on Messenger. I can't get on. But the channel is open 24 hours a day. And Jesus, the person of his Father, is listening to me. So I'm not scared of scorpions. I mean, I don't like them. You know, physically, I don't like them. But isn't it wonderful that God is there? Revelations 9, 3, 5, 10. Demonic locusts have power like scorpions to torment people. That's what they want. Scorpions want to torment people. When the children of Israel are walking through the desert, they're always, when I got up at night, I put on my shoes because and I turned on the light to go to the washroom. I'm looking for scorpions. And we as Christians, and if you're not a Christian, you've got to look out for scorpions. You've got to look out for sin. You've got to look out for the ruses, the tricks of the devil. The devil wants to take control of you like the devil wants to take control of me. But we've got to say, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, we have victory. Scorpions are a wonderful example. So first of all, quickly, we're going to look at the discernment. Scorpions teach us about the danger we must discern. There's danger in our lives, and we have to discern about dangers. We have to realize that there's danger. I ask the Lord so often, Lord, I'm on the internet. Give me discernment. Lord, I'm going to this place over here. Lord, give me discernment. Help me, guide me, direct me. And he does. I mean, I'm never alone. When I lived with a person here and then another person over here and another person over there, and then I moved over here, then I went to Douglas Elementary School, and then I went to Renford Elementary School, and then went to the Inman Elementary School, and then I went over to Rupert Renfrew. God was always with me. I moved around. Discernment. The Bible said you should not be afraid of their words, though thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. We have sin all around us. In the New Testament, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in shepherd's clothing, but inwardly are ravish wolves. And we're going to see that as we go through the message. Old Testament. Here's an Old Testament example in Ezekiel. God warns Ezekiel that he would live among people like scorpions, rebellious, hostile, and resist of God's truth. Let me read that again. This is Ezekiel 2, and 6. I don't know why it just went off again, but anyway, God warns Israel that he would live among people like scorpions, rebellious, hostile, and resist to God's truth. That's what it says in Ezekiel, in the Old Testament. Ezekiel needed spiritual discernment to recognize the dangers all around him, and so do we. How many times I've phoned up an elder when I was younger, and even now I phone up people, mentors in my life. Listen, what do you think about this? Hey, should I go here? We have to work together because there's scorpions everywhere, there's sin everywhere. In the New Testament, we have an example of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus warns of false prophets who appear harmless, but inwardly are ravishing wolves. You want to come and see what? I don't know why she... I didn't touch anything. I didn't. I think it's Roy's fault, don't you? Okay.
Here we go.
There we go.
Wait.
New Testament.
It's gone.
It's gone for some reason. No, I'll take this off. Yeah. Maybe that's the problem. So we have this New Testament and the Old Testament, and there it is. Look at that. What a beautiful picture. Look at that picture. Bah! Bah! Everything looks rosy. That's why we need discernment. I need discernment. You need discernment. If you've never come to the Lord, you've got to realize what is being said here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel is biblical. It's not the teaching, the tradition, and the tradition type of thing. It's the truth. But of course, the scorpions all around you will say, no, it's just another theory. But it's biblical. You're seeing the verses. Jesus, look it up there. Jesus warns of false prophets who appear harmless, but inwardly are ravishing wolves. Ask the Lord for discernment. I do. I ask the Lord every day for discernment. Like a hidden scorpion beneath a stone, spiritual deception is often what? Concealed. Be careful of the internet. I am so careful of the internet. Oh, but Ron, it's so useful. Use it. Discernment. Now, how can we apply this spiritually? Well, first of all, many believers are harmed spiritually, not by obvious sin, but by subtle compromise. Don't compromise. Don't give in. Just a little bit. Well, everybody's doing it, Ron. Everybody's doing it, so why can't you do it? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going there. Everybody's going there. Go ahead, Ron. All the Christians are going there. Go there. No. No. It comes in little packages sometimes, you know. It's not a huge sin. Just one little step. Two little steps. I was going to use an example of the World Cup with technology now. I don't know if you noticed, but one guy was offside. His right big toe was offside. Did you see that line if you were watching it? It was about 3 inches over the mark. And that's where it starts. Just a little step, a little step, a little step. And then you get the red card. The yellow card. Scorpions hide before they sting. Out of nowhere, a scorpion can get you. I remember one time I was working at camp, and a guy was climbing on the roof to go up, to clean the roof off. Stuck. He got bit by a snark. He didn't see it. He put his hand over the edge and bang, there was a scorpion on the roof and it got him. We got him to the hospital. Everything was okay, but I could give you many examples of it. Satan often works through false doctrine. Thank God here at 16th, you've got men and women who check out the doctrine. And I always say to people, I better take this off. They're going to send an ambulance here because I'm getting excited. When you get excited on these things and you make too much noise, you know, it goes, yeah. So if an ambulance comes here, you'll just tell them I'm okay. A scorpion didn't bite me this time. But thank God, as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted, that we have men and women here who can discern. And if you have problems, ask them, is this biblical? Is that biblical? Should I do this? Should I? And they'll pray over it. False doctrine. How about ungodly influences? But I want to win them to the Lord, so I'll go to the bar. Well, I only have one or two beer, and I'll have maybe just one little puff, but I want to win them for Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Norma. Norma, I thought you were going to faint. Maybe we should have got the hospital coming. You can't do that. It's ungodly influence. How about worldly philosophies? How about hidden temptations? How about a natural Christian learns to discern danger before it's stroke? A mature Christian. Take your cameras out. Take your phones out. Take a picture. Go home. Check it out. These are dangers that you and I face. And together we can overcome them. We can have victory in Jesus. But by myself, I flunked many times. I goofed many times. How about ask God for wisdom to reconnect spiritual danger, recognize spiritual dangers before they become spiritual wounds. I don't want to be wounded. I don't want to be hurt. And I don't want to hurt the family of God. And I don't want to hurt my family. So ask God for wisdom. Ask God for discernment. Read the Bible. How many times I look in the Bible, I say, Lord, should I do this? No. It shows me directly I shouldn't do it. It's not godly. It's not healthy. It's not rightful. God is so real. Christianity is so real. What hidden influence in your life could be quickly weakening your walk with God? Are you walking with God? Are you rejoicing God? Are you have abundant life, happy life? But is there sin in your life? Is there a little scorpion? Just little guys, not big ones, just little scorpions. Are they eating away at you? Spiritual progress. Growth comes when we learn to distinguish truth from error and holiness from compromise. These are such truths. I'm learning them all the time, and I've been in the road for 70 years. God is so true. Second, quickly, difficulties. Endure the wilderness. The wilderness is full of scorpions and serpents. The world around us is full of serpents and scorpions. We have to endure the wilderness. Sometimes God allows us to go through problems that you don't know why. You don't understand why. But you have to learn to endure them and say, God, I don't know why. I don't question you, God, but teach me what you want to teach me through this difficulty. That's the secret. Teach me, Lord, what you are teaching me, or you want to teach me through this difficulty. And he will. He will. We have to endure some of these things. But maybe it is God, as I said earlier, maybe it is God making you go through this so you look up. Maybe you're not looking up. Maybe you're trying to go to the psychiatrist. Maybe you're going to read the book on how to help in my life, how to live a happy life, maybe you go to conferences, you know. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to the Word of God. Philosophers and all of these how to do it yourself and self gratification. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it says the journey was difficult, but God used the wilderness to humble, teach, and strengthen his people. 40 years they went through the desert. And it taught them humbleness, strength, and they had to go through it. What a trip it was. What a trip. Israel traveled through the wilderness filled with scorpions and serpents. And God was with them, even though they went to the way is this way. There's the way. But how many times did they go to the left? How many times did they go to the right? How many times? They built the calf, the golden calf, and started worshiping a golden calf. And they knew on the Mount Sinai that we're not to have any gods before them. Scorpions, sin. How about ourselves? How about in the New Testament, in James 1, believers are instructed to count trial as joy because testing produces maturity. I hope I'm mature today because of all the problems I had in my life. Why didn't I have a happy home? Why? But I learned early in my life, thanks to the local Christians at Cascades Gospel Chapel, I learned that all things work together for them that love God. And I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. The sting of hardships can become the tools of sanctification. It says in the Word of God, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can grow through some of our trials and testings. And God allowed me to go through that. But he was there. He was holding my hand. Oh, God is so true. Hardships, they come. The sting of hardships can become the tool of sanctification. I like that. I borrowed that. That's not mine. I borrowed that from some commentary somewhere, but I believe it. It's biblical. It's biblical. Stings of hardship can become the tools to say, I want to be like Christ. Oh, I want to be like Christ. Every Christian encounters painful experiences. We all do. For instance, disappointments. How about losses? How about persecutions? How about unanswered questions? The same Lord who led Israel through the desert, through the scorpion-infested desert land, led his people through life's painful seasons. Are you going through a season of pain? Take it to the Lord in prayer. If you're from this assembly, talk to some of the men or the women here that you know are born again, are Christians, and they love the Lord. Confess it to the Lord. He'll help you through these difficult times. Teach me, Lord, what you want me to do. That's what I want to say. Instead of asking, why am I going through this? Ask, Lord, what are you teaching me through this? Endurance. Endurance produces spiritual maturity. Many of God's strongest servants were developed in difficult times. Difficult times. Last one, time is gone. Dominions. Scorpions teach us about the dominion we may experience. David faced a giant In God's strength, he prevailed. I mean, let's look at it. Think of David. Little David, other giant. David and Goliath. What an example of having victory over a big scorpion. Two scorpions are not specifically mentioned. David faced a terrible enemy, but trusted God's power rather than his own strength. He walked in God's authority with his head high, and all the other Israelites with their head down. Pity parties. But no, David stood in the name of God, and he overcame their great scorpion, Goliath. And we can do the same thing through him. How about this one? Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. Scorpions are representative of spiritual opposition and demon power. Christ's followers do not live in fear. They live in victory. Victory in Jesus. I love that song. If I could sing, you'd have to endure it, but I can't, so I won't. Victory in Jesus. It's so true, so biblical. Victory. The Christian life is not merely survival. It's spiritual victory. I'm not going to get emotional, but I do because I'm so glad Jesus saved me. Amen. And if you don't have victory in your life, Jesus will give it to you. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be able to squash that terrible, terrible scorpion, sin. God wants you and he wants me to have victory. We overcome through prayer. Don't forget the prayer meetings. God's word, read it every day. You can overcome. You can overcome by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get into the word of God. Eat the word of God. Saturate your life with the word of God. Impregnate your whole being with the word of God. Then you'll have victory. Then you'll have it. God will bring that verse to memory just when you need it. God will give you that thought from the word of God. That's faith. The Holy Spirit is real. It's not just, ooh, some spirit. Dependency on Christ. The enemy may sting, but he can't defeat. A believer who walks closely with the Lord has victory, and that's what it's all about. Are you living in fear or spiritual opposition? Of spiritual opposition. Are you living in fear of a spiritual opposition, or are you standing confidently in Christ's authority? Spiritual growth. Spiritual maturity comes when we learn to trust Christ's power more than our own abilities. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Oh, what a truth. What a belief. I can't do nothing by myself. I hear some people say, well, we're just nothing, but we are great value because Jesus died for you and me. God loved you so much that he gave us. It says in the Bible, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to run away after the service. There is a meeting downstairs. Please go. But if you haven't accepted Jesus in your life, I would love to talk to you. You don't even have to go across the street to Starbucks and pay for a coffee. I had a wonderful coffee downstairs during coffee break. But just come up. Don't be afraid. I'm transparent. I'm open. I've told you. I've been stung this week. I haven't slept this week. I've cried this week. But God's been with me, and God enabled me to be here this morning. And God wants to do the same thing for you. Leave your heavy burdens at the cross. Father God, thank you once again for this people. We thank you for each visitor here. And we pray for the 16th, and we thank you for all the different activities. We pray for the DVBS that's coming up. We pray as they plan and strategize. And I pray, Heavenly Father, if there's anybody in this congregation that hasn't come to you, that don't know you in a real personal way, that they will say, yes, I want to speak to that loudmouth. I want to speak to that guy. He seems excited about what he's talking about. And yes, Lord, I am excited. I am thrilled what you can do to other people. Father, I thank you for the people of Skid Row, Union Gospel Mission, Southern Sunday Mission, Harbor Light Mission, on the streets of Vancouver, who have come to you and have been transformed into good citizens, heavenly bound. And as our young brother said, what a wonderful time it'll be in heaven. And I want everybody in this room to be a part of going to heaven together. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. We ask you these things, giving you thanks in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.